Shavua Tov. May you have a good week, and welcome to this special Shofar Ministries Hour, live on 1220 AM Christian Radio, and on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host, today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Now, you can listen to this show later this week on shofarministries.net. As always, we're going to begin with a prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to serve you again on the radio this week. We lift up to you all the prayer requests sent to us this week. Please answer all of these according to your grace and to your mercy. We thank you that you're a merciful God. We also thank you for answering our prayers that we've lifted to you in the past. And seeing the answers is such a blessing. You're so faithful, and oftentimes we are not. Please remember Rachel, Jamie, Scott, and someone contacted us about a homeless person in Hawaii. We won't be giving any names, but we ask that you pray for them and their living situation and the people that are trying to help this homeless person. And Father God, we just pray that your Spirit enlighten the eyes of our hearts and our understanding, open our ears through the word of truth, which is Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. And thank you again, John, and Shalom Haver to you and all those listening on this fine day. I'd like to remind our listeners that your end time Bible questions can be emailed to me or call, but leave a detailed message and I will answer either on the air or by email or a return phone call.
And we will be opening those phone lines later in the hour. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 677-WORD. And for any end time prophecy question, especially concerning the spring feasts, which is the topic for today and next week as well, we'll be back next week to fill you in. Now, I guess, Sheila, I've got to ask you the question, is there any news that we should know about?
I read the news today, oh boy.
What a great producer we have, right on key.
There you go.
Yes, unfortunately, we do have some news, and it's never that good, is it, John?
I know you're always reading the news, and I got to tell people, you really keep up.
Thank you.
And you have
I try.
You have more than one source for your news, and you probably hundreds of sources.
I have a lot of different ones. But you know what's interesting is that I really try to wait on the leading of the Lord to take me to certain news things. It's really absolutely amazing to me how I find some of the stuff.
You've told me about it, and it is. It is amazing.
So, praise God. But everyone pretty much knows this if they're doing any kind of homework, and that is at least 300 rocket missiles have landed in Israel from Gaza just over a five-day period last week. They had 100 in one day, and they killed, unfortunately, 8 people. But really, when you think of 300 rocket missiles, only 8, mm-hmm. That's a miracle in itself.
Our hearts and prayers go out to the 8 that were, and I'm
their families.
Guessing they were civilian.
Well, anyway, the Iron Dome interceptor diverted about 60 of them. So praise God, that's working somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel responded to it, killing a major Islami leader, and then gave their enemies until yesterday,
mm-hmm.
to stop or else it would get worse. And so it did. But most know that it was just for a while to regroup and restock, of course.
Mm-hmm. And that's more for the enemy to they ran out of rockets, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I said last month, and I just want to mention again, I still don't believe that Israel will try to take out Iran's nuclear plants without U.S. backing. Boy, it sure sounds like they are, though, if you listen to all the news and that. But in my gut, and I could be wrong because I've been wrong before, not often, though. I'm kidding.
Can we get a percentage on that?
Yeah, right. I just don't think they'll go without some U.S. backing. But anyway, we are not giving them any backing, and mm-hmm. it's mostly due to the upcoming elections. Now, I'm not saying after that maybe things will change.
Mm.
But we know that if that were to happen, gas prices would go up even higher. And Obama doesn't want that to happen because he might
That's
not get
That's bad
elected.
In an election year to have prices go crazy on you like
That's
that.
That's right. Yep. Unless, now again, Obama could be using the gas prices with Netanyahu to stall him for his own reasons. But anyway, I do feel, though, that Israel will probably have a conflict with Syria via the Hezbollah, who are being egged on by Iran to shoot missiles from Gaza. Okay? And that's mm-hmm. that's what's happening. And I also heard that the Hezbollah up in Lebanon, which is, of course, right...
The northern
border.
Mm-hmm.
As well, to divert Israel's attention away from Iran, due to the trouble on the home front,
mm-hmm.
that Israel will not try to do that as well. But I can tell you this, Israel will not tolerate missiles from Lebanon along with Gaza. And that would, I believe, spark Psalm 83 that we've been talking about for the last year.
That's right.
So.
And it also says something about Damascus in there. I will get to that. But that was the prophecy in Isaiah about Damascus being destroyed. And that's the city, the oldest city in the world, probably.
It probably is.
And it's never been destroyed.
No, it has not. And Isaiah 17 says it will, so I believe that it will, because I take the Bible literally.
You have to.
It's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be soon fulfilled, as now there's been rebels that have used car bombs to blast areas in Damascus. First time. They killed 27 people, and that was just yesterday.
Okay, so it can be destroyed from within as well as from without.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think maybe Israel will even have to do it.
Hmm. Okay.
Because you know what's going on in Syria anyway.
So as we watch prophecy being fulfilled and our jaws drop, it's amazing.
It is amazing. For such a time as this, and we're part of it. We're living in this day. Wow. And there have been other incidents as well in the Middle East, like at Yemen and stuff like that, that we just don't even hear about. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
The United States and NATO and Israel have stepped up their naval movements in the Mediterranean, the Persian Gulf, the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden near the Straits of Hormuz, as well as they're called sea mine finding helicopters.
Mm.
Okay? Now, Iran has heightened its threats to use these sea mines mm-hmm. in the area. And the reason is because these new sanctions on their major banks have now been implemented, finally, making it almost impossible for them to sell their oil anywhere. And they are furious about it. And then, of course, Assad, Syria, is remarkably holding his own, but he's getting help. He's getting help from the Russian military, is actually stationed in Syria.
Yeah, the Russian military is now stationed in Syria.
Yeah.
And that's probably why, you know, we or NATO are hesitating. We don't want to get into a confrontation in Syria.
Well, yeah. Syria's air defenses are actually now about five times more sophisticated as those in Libya were.
So that would be almost an unwinnable war.
Yeah, it would make it more risky and certainly much more complicated, which is why NATO really hasn't gone in there yet.
Gone in. Okay.
You know, and then we have Iran, who now flies in weapons and supplies, which they could not do when we were in Iraq protecting its airspace. But now that's no longer an issue. Iran can and does fly over Iraq now into Syria. And according to Washington sources, Obama tried to stop them from doing that because they just transported flights to Syria with weapons and aid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Obama was turned down because Iraq said, nope, sorry, we're going to help Iran because they're its neighbors and we see them kind of like getting to be allies.
Wow.
And they want to keep Assad in power as well.
Wow.
And Iran, of course, needs Syria for obvious reasons, so they can get Israel when they decide to.
Oh, well, all this stuff seems to be coming to a head. And, you know, the average American, we're just shaking our heads going, what on earth is going on here?
Well, I would think that people are, but I'm amazed at how many aren't even paying attention.
Yeah, some are asleep on the couch with a bowl of ice cream on.
And when I try like to bring it up sometimes, like in a mixed group.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear it.
I know, that's sad.
They just don't want to hear it.
That is sad.
But anyway, those of us that are righteous, that want to watch and see what's happening, understand that evil is growing quickly.
Yes.
The God of this world is enhancing its power.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Testament, remember, a nation was judged by the king that it had.
Hmm.
And I'm afraid Obama, as you know, has well-known and open anti-Semites working for him. Just as advisors on foreign policy tell him to stop helping Israel and instead invest in the Palestinians.
Hmm.
And his friend, ex-Jewish George Soros, he wants an open society, and he calls it an open society so that people think, oh, that sounds really good. But really, they just have another title for one world government and don't want to use that term anymore because, you know, there's negative connotations to it. But all this is in the Bible.
It's called prophecy.
Oh, you're so right. And is all part of God's greater plan for the end of days, just prior to the millennial kingdom on earth, I might add, because it says, in their affliction, they will seek me, Hosea 5:15. And isn't that really true? Don't we turn to the Lord when we're in affliction?
That's right. And sometimes he knows us, and he knows that's the only time some of us will turn to him.
I know. And that's why it's called Jacob's Trouble, because it's Israel. He wants them to turn back to him.
Of course he does.
And Revelation says food shortages will be at an astronomical price.
Hmm?
And we're already seeing foreshadows of that. If you're paying attention, it might be a penny at a time, but everything's going up and up and up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the precarious weather. I actually heard a weatherman say on the news just yesterday, he quoted right out of Scripture, and it was in Luke, and he says, oh, what did he say? The weather patterns, strange weather patterns, he said. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what Luke 21 says, that we'll have strange weather patterns.
And the problem with that is that it affects the growing seasons and the crops, and that could lead to either feast or famine.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it'll probably be the latter. It'll be famine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, the blatant immorality. We don't even have to talk about there, the pleasures of the flesh. And then, of course, deception.
Yep.
And these are all signs of his coming judgment on the earth. And how do we know that, John?
Well, I think it's in the Bible, and it's called prophecy.
Yes, and then you have these ethnic wars and rumors of wars.
And that's in the Bible, and it's called prophecy.
Oh, how good you are.
Do I sound like a broken record? Sheila, doesn't the Bible also say that the end of days will be marked with a huge increase of knowledge?
It sure does. In Daniel 12, and I've said this before on the show, but I just think it's a great thought-provoking statement. So I'm going to say it kind of slow. But think about this. In the days of Solomon, way back when, they traveled at the speed of horseback. He communicated by a foot messenger. And his clothing was like through their simple agriculture. And then 3,000 years later, Abraham Lincoln was doing the same thing.
Lived the same way, basically.
3,000 years. But today, this generation travels at the speed of sound. We communicate by the speed of light. We clothe ourselves with molecules designed in a laboratory. And every week there's a new gadget, better TVs, which, by the way, I didn't even have till I was 5 years old. And now there's cell phones that write letters and is a camera and a computer. John, do you remember that rolled-up film that you had to take to the drugstore?
Yes, I do. But this increased knowledge is Bible. It's in the Bible.
But even in our lifetime, look at how it's increased.
It has definitely more times in the last, what would you say, 100 years or 150 years?
Yes, but just think of the last 10 years. Think of the last 20 years.
Well, sure. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is, and it gets, and there's more. It's, what do they say, doubles every so many years?
How come everybody's so increased in knowledge, but they're so stupid?
I don't know. But
no common sense. We're losing common sense.
This, well, our communication is great, but the thing is, no one has anything to say.
Good point.
Yep.
Okay, well.
But it's in the Bible, and it's called, guess what it's called?
I bet it's called prophecy.
It sure is.
Even though, I'm sorry to say, many churches today are lacking in the area of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But people, please don't depend on your church. You just can't do that anymore. You better personally study prophecy, because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10.
And also a reward, a special crown awaits those who recognize and long for his appearing. You can find that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. And what does the scripture say about dividing God's land?
Oh, yeah, that's in there too, particularly Jerusalem, which is the stumbling stone to the nations, Zechariah 12:2, and a cup of trembling to those who lay siege to it.
Hmm.
Same thing is very similar in Ezekiel 36:5, Joel 3:2, Obadiah 1:17. And if I'm going too fast for you all out there, go to my website in a few days. You can listen to it again and take notes, slow it down, stop it, chew on it. Mm-hmm. And that's the advantage of living in a day of knowledge.
Of high technology.
Who could have ever done this even 10 years ago? I was on this program, you know, about, I think I first started 10 years ago.
I think so.
And I wasn't able to do any of this. I couldn't even put it on my webpage or anything. And now I'm back and look at all this, how it's changed already in just short time.
Well, the technology can be used for good.
And that's, absolutely. We have to take advantage of that good.
We sure do.
Okay. But anyway, God will judge those who with spiteful minds have taken and divided up his land. And they do it with wholehearted joy, but they will be as though they never have been. And that's what the Bible says. So let us repeat, people. Please don't rely on your church to teach you end-time prophecy. Again, study yourself. Just believe what it says. Don't symbolize it or allegorize it. I don't know. I wasn't going to say that, right?
Or even allegorize it.
Thank you. Just take it literally and learn, even if only a little, of your Jewish roots.
And that's Judeo-Christianity.
That's right. And that's what we used to be called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somehow we dropped the Judeo.
I think it was intentional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember telling somebody, well, you did know that Peter was Jewish. You know, it was a Catholic person in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, he wasn't. This is like many years ago, but anyway.
He was Irish?
Probably. Anyhow, you have to learn their usual customs, their holidays, and expressions of the day. That's an important one. During the first century.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the enemy, he's going to, like, speak to your ear, and he's going to say, oh, no, you don't need to do that. That's way too hard. That's over your head. That's too overwhelming.
Or how about, that's the Old Testament, and that's not for the Christians today.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I've heard that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Believe me, people, the whole Bible is to be read.
That's right.
And understood. And the Old Testament is a type or a picture of the New. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And today, we will begin a two-part teaching on the spring feasts or the spring appointments.
Yes.
That are just a few weeks away.
Spring's right around the corner. It's hard to believe. And yes, like you said, Sheila, just knowing some of the basic Jewish principles will help you further understand the end time scenario. You used to have that symbol on your letterhead, the key.
Yes.
Understanding the Jewish roots of the faith is the key to understanding prophecy.
It really did. It brought it all together for me.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. In fact, it's hard to believe that it's been 20 years since I've been teaching on the feast. When I first started teaching them, I did get a good response.
Just understand. not only just, you know, just understanding the culture, Jewish culture helps you. With
it
the
does.
Prophecy. So
yes.
It's too bad that the church turned its back on that so long ago.
I know. But, you know, it was all the way it was supposed to be and to be brought out now towards the end for his return so that we would understand it better.
That's right.
You know. But one of the greatest things I have to say that taught me about Jesus coming, both first and second, are the feast days, because so many people don't understand that he made appointments with man. He made 7 appointments with man. An appointment means Jesus literally will keep these appointments on earth. And he's already kept 4.
That's right.
That's right.
And that kind of tells you maybe he'll keep the other 3.
Oh, I think so.
I think so, too.
We can read about him in Leviticus 23, and we'll be going there, by the way, later.
Mm-hmm.
But some year Jesus, their Messiah as well as our Messiah, will arrive to keep the rest of those appointments. And again, he did it with his first coming and soon his second.
That's right.
So I think that would be maybe a good time to take a break so we can get that out of the way. What do you think about that?
Oh, no, I want to keep going. I want to go for 2 hours today.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
I think it would be. Well, let's see. Do you have something? What should we say? We'll say that Shofar Ministries is a 501c3 and all donations are tax deductible and are extremely important and necessary to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please join us. You know, be our partners in this. You can use PayPal on our web or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All the donations will automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email address, if you have one, and check out our webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, waiting for you to discover them. DVD teachings are also available and make a great gift. And the three-part series on the rapture with so many scriptures. You'll love this study that we did on this program a few months back, and we still have lots of them. It's great to hand out to your Christian friends who might not think we're leaving soon. And we'll have those lines, phone lines open for your end-time questions. The number is 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song by Etta James.
Stay with us now.
Half-price discounts from some of your favorite places to dine and shop. Here's this week's half-price deal.
Plan to pamper yourself this spring break at Mario's. Mario's International Spa is featuring two indulgent half-price deals. Treat yourself to an overnight stay for two at Mario's luxurious hotel. It includes an in-room whirlpool, a beverage, a cheese and fruit plate, and a continental breakfast, all for only $111. Or choose to pamper yourself for an entire hour. This features a half-hour massage plus a half-hour foot massage. Ladies, what a great way to reduce stress. It also includes your choice of a whirlpool, sauna, or steam, and a lunch with your choice of five different entrees, a dessert, and a beverage, all for only $100.
For the details, visit 955thefish.com.
95.5 The Fish.
If you're looking to supplement your retirement plan, consider a reverse mortgage from MetLife Home Loans. Now, with reduced upfront costs, more people are including reverse mortgages as part of their retirement plans, and more financial planners are encouraging their clients to consider them. Call us today for a free DVD and information kit and learn how a reverse mortgage can be a smart option for you. Your kit will explain more about the benefits and costs. If you or any co-owners of your home are at least 62, a reverse mortgage can help provide the retirement you've worked hard for. So call MetLife Home Loans today. Call MetLife Home Loans today at 800-545-4815 for your free kit and DVD. That's 800-545-4815. 800-545-4815. All loans are subject to approval. Interest accrues on the loan amount disbursed. Certain conditions and fees apply. Mortgage financing provided by MetLife Home Loans, a division of MetLife Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I hope you were enjoying that song by Etta James, Old Time Religion. We're going to miss Etta James, aren't we?
I know.
Oh, man.
That's good.
Just a reminder, the phone lines are now open. The number is 888-677-WORD. And a reminder, our next Shofar for our Ministries Hour will be next Sunday, March 25th. Excuse me. Again, it's 6 p.m. And if you want to be in our newsletter mailing list, either send us your request to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or use the regular mail if you want. And send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If possible, tuck in a love offering to help us stay on the air. God will bless you. I know He will. I know He will. And also, I want to make an announcement about the Wycliffe Bible Translators. The Wycliffe Bible Translators are going to hold a free banquet dinner out in Middlefield. And that will be at Mary Yoder's Amish Kitchen on Route 608. Middlefield, way out east there. A missionary will be speaking on recent language translations and the work Wycliffe is currently involved in. Extremely interesting. That will be Thursday, April 19th at 6:15. A love offering will be taken. And if you want more information, or you have to make reservations apparently here, I'm going to give you this number, but don't get it confused with our number. This number for the Wycliffe Bible Translators banquet dinner is 1-800-843-9673. And I'm almost afraid to tell you this. You can remember it by going 1-800-THE-WORD. But that's not us. Remember, that's for the Wycliffe Bible Translators. Okay.
Okay.
I hope I made that clear.
Well, I want to say something, too, that we had a caller call us just a few minutes ago. And basically, he said, if we're going to take the Bible literally, then we should eat Jesus. And I just wanted to please say, we take the Bible literally as often as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Jesus also said, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, you should pluck it out.
Yeah.
Now, we should all have enough sense to know that that's that's figurative things, and
I think this goes back to the common sense.
That's the common sense thing.
All right.
Okay.
Let's read now Leviticus 23, verse 2, and we'll get into the spring feast. What do you think, John? Should we do that?
Yeah, I think we should do that. And before we do, I just want to remark to you that thank you for calling in. You know, your questions, you bring out things, and we appreciate that. We appreciate all our listeners who call in. And thanks again. Now, Leviticus, what are we doing? Where are we here?
23, verse 2. I'll read it. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Now, I want to go over that and pick it apart a little bit.
Okay.
Because this is all part of studying. I think, personally, and I try to do this, every single verse that I read, I usually take at least one word and look it up. I lean on the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help me with that.
Right.
But it really has opened up my eyes to a lot. So in the past, people have read this and thought, oh, this is just for Jews, there's for Jewish people, blah, blah, blah. No, it happens to be that the first righteous people were Jewish or the Israelites, okay? Had the church been there, we would have been involved in this as well.
And the church was there, and I think, when it did come in.
But anyway, what the question is I want to ask you and the listeners is, he says here, these are my appointments or my feasts. And we'll look up that word feast in a minute. But notice it doesn't say these are the Jewish feasts.
No.
These are my feasts. God's appointments.
Is God Jewish or are Jews Godish? Here's a question for you.
Amen. Anyway.
Hey, but these are appointments. God's making an appointment and wants us to show up.
That's right. Let's look at the word feast. It's number 4150 in your Strong's, and it's Moed. And it really does mean appointments.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says, these appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim, are holy mikras. And that's number 4744, and it means a rehearsal gathering.
A rehearsal?
Yes. Hmm. Why? Because someday Jesus would show up.
At these particular feasts.
Right.
And that is so cool. Now, we already know that he has showed up on one.
Oh, yes.
That we're talking about today.
That's what we're going to talk about today.
Unless we have a caller or something.
Yeah, we do. Actually, we have a caller, and I think if I can read that far, it's Dana.
Okay.
In Cleveland.
Hi. This is my first time calling there.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, and I thank you for taking my call. I was born in England, and I was raised in Northern Ireland, and I've been in America for many years, and many of my friends in New York are Israeli Jews, and they're very special people.
Yes.
There's a very big defined difference if you know somebody who's an Israeli Jew or somebody who's in America and who is just of the Jewish religion.
Okay.
There's just something about them that is unexplainable other than just knowing that it's the Spirit of God there. And I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying, but I know that from personal experience.
I agree.
And also, whenever... the people that, when you were saying just now about God and his appointments, when I moved here to Cleveland and I started going to the International Church of the Four Square Gospel in Euclid, Ohio, it was called the Embassy of the Four Square Church at that time.
Okay.
Four Square Church now, there's a different pastor there. But when I was going to that church there, I didn't know how to read the Bible, as strange as it might seem. I was raised Catholic all my life, and I had a Jerusalem Bible that was given to me when I came here to America.
So did I, Dana.
But, pardon me?
So did I.
Did you?
Yes.
I was given to me at my eighth grade graduation.
Yes.
By my mother and my grandmother and my sister. And when I never really read it, I guess I just wasn't old enough to sit down and form, that personal discipline to sit down and read the Bible because I really didn't understand. I knew I had to have one, but I just never really knew kind of what it was for. But I just knew that it had to be in my house, that I had to have one, you know. So what had happened was when I came here, there was a friend of mine who was a teacher in an elementary school in New York who was a cocaine and crack addict. And I had found that out because I was a community activist, and I was also one of the parents one of the students. And I reached out from a community activist to help the teacher, and he went into rehab and everything else. Well, there were people that were in his life that I chose not to talk about. They weren't good for either of our relationships, but and for some reason, when I talk about Jewish people, they always seem to try to put two cents in, but I loose the anointing of God's word onto that and tear down each high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
So do you have a question, Dana?
What I want to say to you is that when you were talking about God's appointment,
yes.
when I didn't know how to read the Bible at all and when I first went to the Euclid Four Square Church, I called to a, I just felt like, I saw in the phone book a Hebrew script ministry in Cleveland, and I called them, and I said, you know, I don't want to ask my pastor this because he might think I'm still crazy, or I'm just pretending that I don't know, you know, something. I said, but I want somebody to tell me how do I read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that when from the beginning of the Bible, as I start reading it, to ask the sister to lead me to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to understand that I should always look for Jesus, for signs of Jesus from the beginning of the Bible as I start reading it. Well,
good advice.
That's what I did. And it helped me to understand what the Word of God is all about from the very beginning. If you read it from the perspective of wanting, even if you're a non-believer, whatever faith you are, if you look at it, you know, people always hear of the Messiah and the Redeemer. Well, if you read the Bible from the very beginning wanting to know about what the Messiah and Redeemer is about, then that would really lead you into the truth of the Word of God. And it's amazing to me what God has revealed to me from following and continuing to follow what I was taught, just by maybe about a 10 or 15-minute conversation with them that I talked to.
Something that you kept with.
That's why when you said to me about God's assignment, you know, God's assignments are for everybody, you know, because everybody is made to be saved. Everybody was made to be redeemed. Otherwise, God wouldn't have
become. He died for the world.
Otherwise, God wouldn't have become a sacrificial subject such as a human, you know, to be the savior of his people. And there's just, you know, people used to laugh at me when I used to say, well, the Irish people and the Jews are very close. Well, and it's true because one of the mayors of Dublin in Ireland was a Jew. His name was Mayor Briscoe many, many, many years ago. And we have a lot of funny Irish songs that we sing sometimes about him. But
well, I'm an Irish Catholic as well. I was raised Catholic.
Can I get my 2 cents worth in here?
Sure, John.
Dana, I've seen on a coat of arms from an Irish family. It was Moran. And there were six Stars of David on the family coat of arms. That's kind of interesting.
The funny part about it is when I draw a star, I draw it with six points as well. Mm-hmm. And do you know what is very funny? I read one time in a book that was talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. And it talks about how, you know, in the Bible where it says the number 666 is the number of the world?
It's the number of the beast. But, hey, Dana, I'm going to have to cut you off a little bit because I'm running out of time.
Okay. I've asked, how do I get your newsletter?
Not a problem. When we hang up, I want you to give our producer, Derek, is his name. He's a sweet man. He will take your address, and then I'll get you on the list. Okay, Dana?
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
oh, you're
Dana.
More than welcome. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. Have a blessed.
You too.
Do the same, Dana.
All right.
I think she's ready to be a teacher in her church. What do you think?
Boy, I would choose to get a radio program.
Well, she did.
Sweet girl. Sweet girl. I'm looking forward to having more conversations with her.
Yes.
So let's talk about Passover.
The spring feast.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the Hebrew calendar, which, by the way, if we have time next week, we'll probably go into the difference between the Hebrew calendar and the Gregorian calendar and what they actually did. Yeah.
And you've called it the biblical calendar, too.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, versus their civil calendar,
mm-hmm.
because there's two different ones. And let me just say this much, that when they actually left Egypt, God said, it's such an important time that I want you to take this month, which happened to be the Nisan, and it was the seventh month. He says, you make it your first month on the biblical calendar now because it's that important, because it's like a brand new life for you.
Yes.
So that's as far as we'll go for that, but we'll talk about that again.
Yeah, we will. Again, there's something, too, we have to clarify because that confuses people. He didn't change, he changed the, it's the order, not the order of the month, but he just said the important ones and the ranking them in importance. Nisan was the most important, or the first.
At that time. Okay. Well, we'll go into that again, like I said, but I want to get through these. Nisan 14, there's another word called Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It means spring, basically.
Yeah. And it was on the 14th, and that was their Passover. Now, this is the time that Israel was delivered out of bondage.
Bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt, yeah.
And they were told, remember, to put the blood on the doorpost. Okay, and if the angel of death saw the blood on the doorpost, then it would pass over. That's where the word came, Passover. And, you know, it's interesting because you didn't just have to be an Israeli or those going back to Israel.
Yeah, it was anyone.
Anyone had the blood on the doorpost. What a great picture that is, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Because
today, Jesus' death and blood on the cross apply to us.
That's right.
Will deliver us from sin and its and deliver us from hell, really, ultimately.
And he put his blood on the wood.
On the wood, okay. On the cross. And some say the wood of the cross was actually made from doorposts.
Thank you for saying that, because that's exactly what I wanted you to say. That's true.
Well, yeah. Archaeologists have said that that was the common way of building, and they...
Because it was called a lentil?
Yeah, something like that. Well, lentils are beans, but I know what you're talking
about. Okay. I might have said it wrong, but there was always wood.
Yeah, there's always wood. That
above there was the door.
Above the door and on the side. And the cross was made from that.
That's right. Amen. All right, so you know what else is amazing? Is that when Jesus came and died on that cross, it was Nisan 14.
Do you think that's a coincidence?
No.
No.
All planned out since the beginning of time.
So can we say then that Jesus fulfilled Passover? By
literally.
Dying on the cross at that time, on Nisan 14.
That's right. Literally came to earth.
Okay.
He kept that appointment.
Wow.
So that's why he had them do it every year, so that they would be ready for when the Messiah came. And now many didn't take him, but a lot did.
A lot did.
A few thousand, I would say.
There's another spring feast here, too, that's very close, isn't it, to Passover?
Yes. Today it's really all in the season of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day was when they actually left Egypt after they put the blood on.
Right.
Okay. The next day would have been the 15th now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was the time that they would actually leave Egypt. And what's interesting is that Jesus was actually put into the tomb on the 15th at sundown.
Mm.
And so by his dying on the cross and then being buried, he took our sins to the tomb. And it was like that bondage that people have to sin can now be eliminated because he took our sins to the tomb, to the cross and to the tomb.
To the tomb.
Yes. And it was on the 15th of Nisan, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus is the unleavened bread from heaven.
That's right.
That's right.
The bread didn't, they didn't have time to put, to allow dough to rise. So there was not time because they were on the road.
That's right.
So they were going out of Egypt.
Had to eat unleavened bread.
Eat unleavened bread.
Which is, of course, today at the Seder meal, they call it matzah.
Matzah. Very good. Yeah. And would you say that Jesus fulfilled that? I think he did.
He definitely did.
Sure.
In
his burial. Mm-hmm.
Now, then 2 days later is the Feast of First Fruits. And the Feast of First Fruits is always on the day after the Sabbath during Passover week or during the week of unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And originally this was on Nisan 17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what's interesting is that after they put the blood on the doorpost, after they left Egypt, then they got to the Red Sea. And you know what happened. Whoa, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're all going to die.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But, of
not
course,
all of them. Mm-hmm.
Moses put the staff in the water and it separated the waters and they were able to cross through.
On dry land.
On dry land.
Mm-hmm.
On Nisan 17, which represents new life to them. And at the same time, as soon as they got through the Red Sea, the enemy was following them. Figured, oh, well, if they can go through on dry ground, we certainly can. Didn't happen, did
it? No, it didn't.
They destroyed the enemy. And wow, what a beautiful picture of Jesus.
Of the resurrection.
That's right. Not only did he put his blood on the wood, he took the sins to the grave and left them there. And then he resurrected on Nisan 17, giving us new life to anyone who believes.
At the same time.
At the same time, on the same day.
And taking care of our enemy. Pretty much.
That's right. That's right.
He broke
nails
Satan
in his coffin. Now, he allows Satan, of course, to do his thing because it's fulfilling prophecy. But we know how it's going to turn out.
That's right, because Satan has been judged, and he knows that his end is soon.
That's right.
And that was done formally at the cross on Resurrection Day.
Amen to that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, it's more than cool. And you know what? I'll tell you what a revelation when I actually saw this. And again, this is almost 20 years ago. And it was like, oh, I can't believe this. Why isn't more people talking about this? Look at this. I was so excited that I started my own ministry.
I know. I remember those days.
Yes, I know you do. You've been around for a long time.
Yep.
Because I knew you in the secular life as well.
Well, that's true. We won't go into that.
No, we won't.
No.
So, all right. So there we see three feast appointments.
In the
spring. Remember that they're appointments, and he has kept three of them. And he even kept the fourth one.
The fourth one?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, always a Sunday.
Always a Sunday.
Always had to be a Sunday.
You'll run into problems with that in today's Judaism, but
yes,
in first century Judaism, it was
good point. And let's clarify that again, mm-hmm. too. I study first century Judaism mm-hmm. and their phrases and their customs and that.
Mm-hmm.
During the Dark Ages, things were changed. I mean, they added a lot of things. They started wearing yarmulkes. They added an egg to the Seder plate. I mean, they added things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I study first century Judaism, and I believe that it's taught me a lot just to stick to that.
Yeah.
So Pentecost is 50 days after Feast of First Fruits. Now, what happened, John, after they crossed the Red Sea, 50 days later, what happened to the Israelis, Hebrews, I should say?
Well, they went to this big mountain, and Moses went up in the mountain, and they were given the law.
They were.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they saw, in the account says they saw the fire. They saw the mountain on top.
Mm-hmm. And the Ten Commandments, I guess, would be another way of people understanding what the law was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought them down on tablets and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that was the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Now, how did Jesus absolutely fulfill Pentecost as well? Because now he had gone back up to heaven. So what did he do?
He poured out the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He told his disciples, you can't have the Holy Spirit unless I go to heaven first.
That's right, because God wants company.
Yeah. That's, well, I always wondered why.
That's a little funny, but.
And what happened when the Spirit was poured out? The tongues of fire appeared on all those in the upper room?
That's right. It gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that when you're saved, you automatically get the Holy Spirit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit grows with the amount of time that you spend in His Word, as does Jesus. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But there are times when you can ask for a bigger infilling for a special thing that you have to do. You know, I ask the Lord to fill me more with the Holy Spirit when I do the radio show,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's extra fillings that you can get as well. Sometimes people will get a filling so much that they'll speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that everybody will speak in tongues, but I know that some do. And that's one of the topics that isn't part of my end time prophecy, so I don't really talk about it because it's just too many people argue about it, so I don't want to, and I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah.
But I believe there's a difference, though, between prayer language and an actual tongue. But,
correct, correct.
And,
yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that, but we do know it's a phenomenon that you can't deny.
No.
There was been whole denominations founded on that.
Especially
miracle.
Acts chapter 2.
Yes, Acts chapter 2. And there's a difference between ecstatic speaking, or what do they call it, glossalia, and actual speaking in different languages.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And I think Paul addresses that. He says, you know, language of men versus the language of angels.
Angels, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
By the way, as we've already stated, but I'll say it again, there's still three more feasts to be fulfilled, and they just happen to be in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that since he's fulfilled the first four with his first coming, he will fulfill the last three with his second coming. And I don't want to go into too many details, but let's just say this. I believe probably the rapture will happen on a new moon, when it happens to be on the same as the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
and also the same as a feast day.
Okay.
All three, I think, will match.
And it'll be a fall feast.
Yes. And I don't know exactly what year at all. I do believe it'll probably be 6,000 years from Adam, but we don't know exactly when that is, because they haven't counted it really that accurately. I mean, servitudes were not counted on the Hebrew calendar. And who knows when God, you know, maybe Jesus' time on earth, God didn't really count that either.
Well, one thing
I don't
know. One thing we do know for sure is that he fulfilled Passover to the day, to the hour,
he did.
To the minute. Why wouldn't we think he would fulfill the next feast coming to the right to the day, you know?
Right, and we've taught that I think it's probably going to be the next feast that the rapture will occur.
Yes, I do.
And it's just interesting that Rosh Hashanah is the only feast that is also a new moon.
Hmm.
And what do you think about that?
Well, I think that gives you some ammunition in your, you know, when you, somebody says, what time of year do you think it might occur? And I always use that.
I do think it's in the fall. And James tells us, you know, the context is talking about when Jesus will return. And he says, well, just like the harvest comes at the end, you know, and he gives us little hints right there in James 5.
Well, and definitely Rosh Hashanah is harvest time. Hello.
That's right.
Yep.
As well as Yom Kippur and Tabernacles.
That's right.
That's right. Hmm. Amen. So I think we have just enough time to, let's just talk real quick about Easter and how so often it falls on the same day as the Feast of First Fruits and how some people get it confused and will call Easter the resurrection of Jesus, thank God, because I believe it is, except there is an origin to the word Easter, and I just think, I think we have a couple minutes left, so I'd like to just talk about that.
Okay.
Can we do that, John?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, there's a guy named Alexander Hyssop.
Interesting last name.
Gone now, but he explored the origins of Easter in his book called The Two Babylons. I recommend the book. It's really good. But the English word Easter originates from Babylon, okay, Astarte, which is one of the titles for the Queen of Heaven, okay, a goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Chaldeans called her Ishtar, and the Syrian Venus, was called Ashtaroth. But basically, they're just different names for the same goddess.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Acts 12:4, at least in the King James Version, did they say Easter instead of Passover?
Yeah, I was amazed when I saw that, because I looked it up in the Greek, and it's definitely Pesach.
Oh, yeah.
And they King James put Easter in there. So, again, King James has its problems.
I know.
Like a lot
just
of
like
others
all,
do.
They're all translations. They all have problems.
But the new King James fixed it.
Oh, he did.
So
okay.
That's the translation that I usually use. But anyway.
Okay.
So going on, the Babylonians held a festival each spring to memorialize the supposedly yearly death at the end of fall and resurrection of Tammuz.
That's a god, right?
That's right. And it was in the early spring, and they did this for centuries before Christ came.
Mm-hmm.
They utilized decorated eggs at the time of the spring equinox, and that's just when the night and day are of equal length.
Mm-hmm.
Now, eventually, rabbits came to be linked, for they represent fertility, and it was told to the children that the Easter Bunny brought the eggs, even though rabbits never lay eggs.
Weren't these ancient fertility rites observed to the goddess Ishtar immoral and full of sorcery and stuff like that? You know?
And Easter eggs were common in the heathen nations. A fable I read about the egg is that the egg of a wondrous size fell from heaven into the Euphrates. The fish rolled it to the bank of the river where doves settled upon it, hatched it, and out came Astarte or Ishtar, the goddess of Easter. Now, the point I really want to bring home here is the fact that Easter was always a separate celebration by the pagans from way back in the Old Testament, whereas the resurrection of Christ on the Feast of First Fruits was a different celebration by both the Jews and then the Christians.
At least until the time of Constantine in 312.
Mm-hmm. Right. So with this questionable conversion to Christianity, his questionable, and his desire for all Christians to be Christian, or all people to be Christians are off with your head, more or less he compromised with the pagans and combined these two feast as well as others like Christmas into one and called it Easter to be held on the Sunday after the new moon during the equinox. You know, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this next week.
We'll be back.
Yeah, more spring feasts and more good stuff. If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you are concerned, you might be one of those that just have the head knowledge but not really heart conviction, just get on your knees right now. Repent. Particularly of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. Write them down if you have to. Excuse me. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But always remember, it's your choice to choose Him. So make it your decision to choose where you want to spend eternity. It is your decision. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes, and your soul never dies. It lives on and on in eternity. And it has to go somewhere. There's just two places. It's with God or Satan.
So please don't waste your life away. Because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever. And who knows what God can accomplish through you.
And do you have a question for Sheila, or if you'd like her to speak at your church, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And now we'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasim lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Sunday, March 25th at 6 p.m.
Till then, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Not maybe.
Psalm 122:6.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila at shofarministries.net.